This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good over here on this rainy, dreary Wednesday. Thursday.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty out there.
We're getting closer to the weekend. But, looks like it's easing up a little bit. But, yeah, man, almost here. Big game weekend as far as, the Falcons are heading out to Denver to the Mile High City.
When do they leave? When do you go for a game on Sunday? Go tomorrow?
No, they leave. I don't know how their travel schedule works, but I would think they would leave Saturday. But, okay. It all depends on how they view it. I know coming west to east, we would always leave on a Friday, anything past Kansas City. Uh-huh. And then when I was in Miami, we went to Seattle. We left on Saturday to go to Seattle and played on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But it varies by club. I would prefer to go on a Friday.
Yeah, acclimate to the altitude, all that, a little bit of a time change.
And they got a couple of nice shakes in Denver, too.
Definitely. Gotta go try that out.
They got a couple nice shakes out there.
Huh.
But
interesting.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, they got a couple nice shakes out there.
Does it shake different at altitude?
Dude. Travels. Yeah, it's real.
Because they say the air is a little thinner.
I know, and you can tell too, because it's just that that sound like a counting machine.
So not everything's thinner.
Yeah, man. Not everything thinner. Yeah, sound like a counting machine. Yep.
All right. There we go. Good. We're off to a swinging start here on a Trillville Thursday. Like Randy said, lots to get to over the next 3 hours. We'll get to a back page with Bo a little bit early because at 12:40, our new weekly tradition on Thursdays is one of the members of the Falcons coaching staff joins the show. Today, quarterbacks coach T.J. Yates. T.J. Yates is going to join us at 12:40. And then Smoke and Joe Patrick's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour as well. As Falcons got a big one on Sunday, man. They all are. I get it. There's only 17 of them, but kind of like a couple weeks ago when they played the way they played against Seattle.
You felt like
you needed to come back and prove something a little bit to yourself and to the fans and all that. The way that it went on Sunday against New Orleans, I think probably there's one guy specifically that's under the magnifying glass.
Ride him till the wheels fall
on
off.
On Sunday, and Roswell, ride him till the wheels fall off. I hope they don't have to ride him that much.
Yeah.
I hope it's a whole bunch of extra points.
Nobody
kickoffs.
Nobody wants to ride Coop, all right? But I think this is going to be the thing, is this. There is something about going into a bye week with a loss.
Two straight losses.
Right. I mean, this organization's done that plenty of times since we've been here, so it's nothing
new. That was sort of a classic Dan Quinn calling card was looking ahead to the bye week and losing to an inferior opponent.
Yeah, you don't want to lose two games in a row then going into a bye week, man. You want to have a good bye week. Have a great Sunday, get some time off and everything like that and get yourself refocused and everything for the stretch run and everything. But, I think overall this team, I think the Falcons are better than the Broncos. I do. I know they got some really good players, and overall the best player in this game is probably the cornerback for the Broncos. I think LePat probably overall the best player in the game, but he can only play one position. And I was thinking about this driving up because you remember I was saying, that he was going to probably follow Drake the whole game. He might follow Moody this game.
He might follow Moody,
and they find a way to double-team Drake.
As much as they move Mooney around and as effective as he's been in all kinds of different ways, he might.
Yeah, I thought about that this morning, but who knows how this goes. But, they have to get back. First of all, they got to be able to establish a run. And, the one thing that Denver does is they exploited Kansas City's weakness on the left side. I was listening this morning, absolutely correct. Went back and watched a couple of clips, is that, the tackles for the Chiefs, one got hurt and the other one is just, pretty ass. Mm-hmm. And they took advantage of it and everything. They rushed it, they sped up Pat. Just like Dave Archer said yesterday, they sped him up the whole game yesterday. And so that's the one thing you got to worry about if you're the Falcons is the protection. Is the protection. Is those tackles being able to hold up and give Kirk Cousins time.
There's also multiple plays to be made, though. It's weird to watch. They're 9-0, and you can't take it away from them, and they're the best because they're the best. But, like, there's multiple throws that Mahomes missed that were touchdowns last week that he normally makes. He overthrows Kelce in the end zone. There was another one. I don't remember who the receiver was. Doesn't matter. But, like, throws that Mahomes almost always makes. Mm-hmm. They didn't make. He makes them. It's a totally different ballgame. You're not talking about blocking a field goal to win the game
right. And
them sort of getting by the skin of their teeth again. So all that to say, like, as good as Denver's defense is, and they are, they're fifth in yards allowed, they're second in sacks in the NFL, they're fourth in points allowed per game, there were plays to be made there for Kansas City. You saw what Baltimore did to them a couple of weeks ago. Now, that's the number one offense in the NFL.
Right.
But the Falcons are up there. They're a top five offense
right.
in the NFL. And if they're going to win games against good defenses and against good teams, especially on the road, they're going to win those games on the backs of the offense.
Right.
So it's there to be had. You just got to do it. Like, we talked about this last weekend against New Orleans. Was it a slow start or did they just miss plays? I don't know. What's the difference? Who cares? There was plays to be made and
exactly.
they didn't make them.
Exactly.
They did as the game went on until they got to the red zone and then they stalled out and then they missed field goals. So, like, it all comes down to these small, minuscule, I don't know, minuscule, they're big in the moment, but these individual instances of this play shades the game this way or this play takes the game that way. You just got to make more of them than you missed last Sunday against the Saints. Because here's the thing about Denver. The Falcons are better than Denver, but Denver's better than New Orleans.
Yes. I agree. Oh, no doubt about that. And when you go back to when you say stalling in the red zone, usually when you stall in the red zone, got kick field goals, those are chip shots.
Yeah.
You would think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. You know,
if you're inside the 20.
If you're inside the 20, you should,
35
that, yeah,
yards,
that should be a chip
like
shot, stuff like that. But no, this is where you got to cash in on touchdowns. This is where you got to be able to run the football down there because they get to a point where they just going to zone it up, try to keep everything in front of them and nothing behind them, and squeeze off those little pockets or whatever you want to call it where Kirk can maybe fit the ball in. They want to play it like that, just like a lot of teams do in the red zone, quarters coverage, things like that. They want to be able to keep everything in front of you, rally to the ball, and tackle. And so they're going to have to be able to run the football when they get down, which they've done a pretty good job so far this year. But, I mean, to go up there in Denver, because, you know, we could talk about the elements, and I heard Raw on with the boys yesterday talking about the altitude, and I think the one thing is, you know, famously what happened to RC up there, but I forgot Tevin Coleman had sickle cell.
Oh,
and you remember that?
Yeah.
He had his best game as a damn Falcon that
right.
game. I do remember that game, and Raw was talking about that. So I think it's more of anything, it's just a mental thing that, you know, once you're up there and you're kicking their ass, it ain't no worry about no altitude.
I don't ever remember people winning and talking about it.
Yeah.
You know,
never.
Like,
never.
You hear basketball teams go there and kind of get run out of the gym against the Nuggets, and it's like, man, we had no breath. It's like, well, yeah. Also, they have Jokic.
Yeah.
And they ran you into the ground. When the Broncos are kind of struggling, you don't hear as much about it as you do when the Broncos are really good. So hopefully it's not something that we hear about on
right.
Sunday.
Right.
Because you only talk about it when you lose.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Yeah, we were gassed.
And so, but they got to go out there and play, you know, be able to run the ball, be balanced on offense, you know, somewhere in that area. Not, you know, like, again, stall out in the red zone, score touchdowns. And then, you know, when he gets his opportunity, you got to make them. I mean, there are going to be opportunities in this game. It's just the format that the Broncos play. Some kind of with the Falcons have played, he's going to get at least three attempts. Now, I hate to say that.
No, but that's right.
But
around,
it's a possibility
no.
he's going to get somewhere around three attempts this game.
And that's not even just, you know, that's not even just the Broncos or the Falcons or anything like that. That's the league. Like, look at, he's attempted 24 field goals this year. They've played 10 games. That's 2.5 field goals a game, right? Like, that's what that breaks down to. So, yeah, the odds are he's going to have to take 2 or 3 field goals on Sunday. Unfortunately, right now, the odds are he's going to miss one of them because that's what his percentage is right now. And he's kicking field goals at a 70% clip.
Ooh.
That's not good enough. Now, on his career, coming into this season, he had been like a top 10 field goal percentage kicker of all time. He's not that right now.
Ew.
And you know, again, you got track record and you got built up credit and all that kind of stuff, but certain positions lose credit faster than others.
Damn right. Especially when that's your own job.
That's the one. That's the one. Like, you missed field goals on Sunday. It's going to be an awkward conversation that nobody wants to have. So just go make them. Go make them, and we won't have to worry about it. Hey, still no word officially one way or the other as to whether or not Nico Iamaliava is going to play against Georgia.
I think he's playing.
On Saturday night? Well, I think probably too, but the status hasn't been confirmed, and there's folks out there saying that they've heard that he's not playing.
Well, so I saw the clip that I think Roddy had tweeted or retweeted it. It was the Bear, and he was saying that he's hearing that he's not going to play.
Yeah. Chris Felica.
Yeah, and so I don't
remember the last time he broke a story.
I don't either. But, you know, but
maybe.
But I don't know. But he's into all that gambling and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he got some insider stuff.
Saying,
I don't know.
I imagine he probably has a trusted source that told him that.
Right.
I'm going to wait for like Pete Thamel.
Yeah.
Or somebody
I'm just going to wait till Saturday.
Normally tells me who's playing and who isn't.
I'm just going to wait for Saturday night.
Yeah.
And just view it from there. I don't know the severity of the concussion and everything like that. So who knows if he's going to be able to get out of protocol and all of everything. They want to run the football. Now, the kid is very talented. And I think I said yesterday he was balling, and he was early. You had to read off the opponents and mess up my argument.
Oh,
but yeah, he struggled.
I think it's a better argument for Georgia now. Like he's fine.
Yeah,
but he's nothing special.
No, he's not. And that, but I was like, oh, he's special and all those things.
Well, he threw like 6 touchdowns against like Chattanooga.
Yeah, and I know that. I know that.
Yeah,
but I think you know they want again. We talked about it. They want to run the ball with Sampson, play defense, things like that. And this offense will be the offense. And the biggest thing with this offense is Georgia has done the last few years that they played Tennessee is they disrupt the timing of the offense because they want to go. They want to go as soon as the ball is – as soon as the ball carrier is down, they want to spot and go. And Georgia has done a really good job the past few years of not allowing that.
Tempo hasn't been an issue for Georgia's offense. The issue that Georgia's defense.
Right.
The issue that Georgia's defense has faced this year is quarterbacks that – are elusive and get the ball out quickly.
Right.
Right.
And that's what happened
with Milroe in the first half, and that's what happened with Jackson Dart outside of that first drive against Ole Miss. That's the weird thing for me about analyzing Georgia this year versus the last 5 years. Matchups matter. Like, in the last 5 years, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had an answer for whatever you were.
Correct.
Oh, you have a mobile quarterback who gets the ball out quickly? Cool. We have guys that are going to make you pay for that. Oh, you have a pocket passer with a really good offensive line? Great. We're going to get to him and make his life really hard. Oh, you're a run-dominant offense and you go for 200 yards every Saturday against every defense? We're going to hold you to 30
right.
to make you one-dimensional.
Right.
It's weird to talk about a Georgia football team where there's bad matchups.
Mm-hmm.
There are bad matchups.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't one of them.
No.
I think they match up really well against
what Tennessee
thing, does
offensively. But I love your point about the matchups, but there has been certain style of players that's
given
Georgia
correct.
That's
what I mean. That's what I mean.
You're absolutely correct on
and
that.
And I don't think Nico's a Jackson Dart. I don't think he's a Jalen Milroe
but I think
in terms
he has,
of mobility.
But he has ability, though.
He can move.
He can move.
But he's not doing what those
right,
guys do.
I agree with that. But, I mean, he has the ability. He could put it anywhere on the field that you want. He's a big-time arm and everything like that. But
not think, super accurate, though.
But I think he's still a growing player. But,
yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. You got to disrupt the timing of it and everything. And just like any other game, you can't give up the big play. And Georgia really hasn't given up too many big plays outside of the Alabama game. The one thing we talked about last week with Ole Miss was everything was catch and run. Everything was catch and run, and that's where all the big plays and as Kirby likes to say, the explosions, that's where they came from. It was more or less it was a three-step drop, and it was man-to-man, and it seemed like every one of those damn plays – The DB got beat across their face, and it was the middle of the field, and it was just nothing but green grass. Mm-hmm. And then you're in a chase position and everything like that.
They do have a wide receiver named Squirrel, which is always fun. Always good to recognize people with cool names.
Squirrel.
Squirrel White.
Squirrel.
Imagine he's shifty. He's been on the team for a while.
He's been on the team for a couple years. Slow with a name like Squirrel.
Nah, you got to be spry.
Mm-hmm.
Brew McCoy, good. He's been there for a while.
Yeah. Squirrel.
A lot of good receivers in front of him. Now he's kind of the guy. But yeah, Squirrel White. You got to take him out of the game.
You got to be able to. Yeah, you got to be able to be shifty. With
you got to be that part of the world. They use squirrels for a few reasons.
Who?
They eat them?
Okay, one. Then they got the
pets.
You forgot the guy. The guy at church.
Yeah. Wide receivers.
Toothpicks. Yeah, toothpicks. Yeah.
My mother-in-law has a squirrel trap on her porch right now. She lives not far from Knoxville.
She has a squirrel. Julie has a.
Yeah. Yeah, they trap them. And then they take him to her dad's house and let him loose in his woods.
Huh.
She also lives in the woods. Like, I don't think she's going to trap all the squirrels.
But you never know. You let squirrels out into somebody else's hood.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. I feel bad for those squirrels. Maybe, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they're not welcome there, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. That's day four.
Where'd you come from?
Yeah, Julie's house.
Maybe they're squirrel gangs and they're getting, I don't know. I think they're messing with
don't
the order of things. Huh?
Julie, know you squirrel?
I don't think Julie has.
No.
I would not be surprised
if Jim had.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. Teach their own, man. Squirrel's supposed to be pretty good.
I never want to know. There's damn country ass boat. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, it is.
I got invited on a squirrel hunt the day after Thanksgiving a couple years ago.
I remember that.
I politely declined.
Squirrel hunt's fun.
I remember that.
You guys tell me
what
how it goes.
What do you shoot a squirrel with?
Shotgun. Or a 22.
Wouldn't you blow it up?
No, not you. There's little, you can use like little bitty bird shot.
Oh, okay.
Little bitty BBs. Or you just use a 22.
Okay.
It sounded like they had a good time.
It's fun. You're just walking through the woods.
It's not
like being like in a deer skin.
No, that's true. I like hiking. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the what's trending. We'll get what's trending to kick the show off here. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. I will say, an opening segment where you start talking about what we started talking about and you finish talking about squirrel hunting is a very unique segment. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not just the bye, but it's getting the dub is the biggest deal, right? Because why is this the most important game? Because it's the next game, right? That's the mentality. And the whole deal about the last game of scrubbing it is just like, you can't let one team beat you twice, right? You got to come out that thing and ready to go. You got to be ready to all guns firing, all cylinders up. Everybody's ready out. And that's where we're at. Like, process, you got to trust it. The preparation that we're going through, go get this win, and then we'll be able to enjoy next week. I'll get a chance to talk to you.
Go just ahead. A masterclass in how many did he get in there? Four? Cliches? Five, maybe? That was pretty good. Now, he said them kind of in creative ways. Like, he didn't say trust the process. He said the process. You got to trust it. Yeah. Switched it up, you know? It was pretty good. But, yeah, the next game's the most important one.
Yes.
And did he say you got to keep the main thing?
But you always do.
That's true. Yeah. You can't, because if it's not the main thing, then what is it?
Yep.
Then
the main, not, thing, then not the main thing is winning.
That's right.
Right. The main thing is winning.
And they got to do that.
Any way you can.
Any way you can. 1 point. They win by one, that's fine. They win by 30, that's fine. It'd be cool if they won by 30. They haven't done that yet this year. But however they do it, it's all good. That's Raheem talking about the importance of the next game. The next game is against the Denver Broncos, Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know the deal at this point, I think. We've talked quite a bit about it. We'll get to our keys tomorrow to wrap the show up. But Denver's got a really good defense, and they found a way to make Bo Nix efficient on offense. They're not great on offense.
No.
I mean, they're a bottom 8 team in the NFL offensively in terms of yards and points and all that kind of stuff. But their defense is good enough to keep them in games, and they've been able to win half their games because of it. They should have won last week.
Mm-hmm.
They got a field goal blocked at the end against Kansas City, and they could have knocked them out of their undefeated streak. But, they're a solid team, not a great team, and if the Falcons play their game, then they should be able to beat them.
That's the biggest thing, if the Falcons play their game. I think, you know, they want to, you know, if you're the, you know, we talked about the quarterback, and you, like you said, we'll have their quarterback coach on in the next hour, but, you know, Kirk's going to be where he's going to be. You know, at least a little bit. Patrick can move off his spot a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. Kurt's going to be where he's going to be now. Do you go, if you're the Falcons, a game plan, the point where you do some naked bootlegs and rollouts and things like that to get Kurt off his spot like that and help out the offensive line and their protection? But the ultimate thing the Falcons have to do is run the football. They got to be able to stay consistent with it. And I think, meaning that, you know, both guys. And I think this offense, obviously, Bijan is that guy. But you get Tyler somewhere around 10 carries, somewhere in that area right there.
Yeah.
So you can set it off balance because they're two completely different running styles. It takes its toll on the defense.
It feels like when the offense is really going the way that they want it to go, Tyler Allgeier is involved.
Yes.
You know, like when it's kind of stops and starts and you kind of you got to get things going a little bit, then Bijan's the number one back. We understand that.
Right.
But when it's really flowing and they've been at their best, Allgeier's been heavily involved in those games as well. And you have a little bit more balance too. You can run it against them. Now, they're great at stopping the pass. And a big part of why is, like you said, they've got Pat Surtain Jr. back there on the backside, who's fantastic. And they're second in the league at sacking the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They get the quarterback on the ground. So that's certainly an advantage that Denver has.
That's
because
back end working with the front end.
As much as we've discussed it, it hasn't gotten better. I know they had the three against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are awful. They went back to having zero sacks last week, and they're rotating guys in and out. Like
they're trying to figure something out.
They are trying their darndest.
They're trying to figure something out. They're trying to find some kind of combination. Trying to see if you can find somebody in the group. Trying to see if you can find a matchup. Like they're doing everything they can. I will give Rod. They're trying everything because you've seen everything.
Right. That's the thing. Like for all the people, why don't they do this? They've done it.
They've
literally tried to do everything. Like last week,
they bought pressure.
They took Judon off the field and put Ebikidi on the field on passing downs because he was more effective to get into the quarterback. Yep. Now, what does that say?
Not a lot,
but he was more effective to try to jumpstart it. They're playing Khalid Kareem off the practice squad to try to get something going. D'Angelo Malone's playing more.
People are hurt.
Sure, but like
rush.
They're just. I mean, they're doing everything within the capabilities of their personnel to try to get to the quarterback.
Yes.
And it comes back to the capabilities of their personnel.
They can't do it.
Yeah. So don't count on that. But it's still – here's the thing. Like, I know he's playing better and credit where credit's due, for sure. It is still Bo Nix. Like, you know –
He'll give you one.
You can beat Bo Nix.
Yeah, he'll give you one. The biggest thing with him is you can't – and he is very athletic.
Yeah.
He wants to be outside the pocket and make plays and you know, scramble and the guy come off – the defender comes off his guy, then Bo hits him and things like that. They want to do that. Cortland Sutton is a very good receiver, in my opinion, and he can make contested catches all day. I mean, if anything, I think A.J. will probably have him one-on-one in most cases when they go man-to-man. But, I mean, they're not spectacular. They're not explosive. I mean, obviously, you know, Sean Payton knows what the hell he's doing as far as the offensive play calling. He's a very good football coach, and they're doing things with a lot of limitations on their roster. And that's the thing about it is, like, they're still a team that's kind of building into something right now.
Definitely.
And winning while they're doing
it. I'm surprised they're doing as much winning as they are,
right,
given what they had to do. I mean, they're paying Russell Wilson $200 million to not be there.
Yes.
And by the way, he's playing pretty good.
Yeah.
He's playing some pretty good football in Pittsburgh against all odds, given what he looked like the last couple years in Denver. So, yeah, it's hard to win when you have that much money outside your building.
Yes.
Like you're paying,
yes.
You're paying guys to not play for you. I mean, Justin Simmons is here in part because they weren't trying to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to spend money on right now, and they're still able to do
it. Dude, I listened to – did we get a chance to interview him this summer?
Justin Simmons?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Pretty sure we did.
He was on with Dukes, but dude, he's so good.
Because he got signed like right at the end of our time up there.
I think
everybody
never really got
a chance to talk to him.
Dude, he's solid. He's a solid brother, man.
He was on yesterday.
Yeah, he's solid, man. I really enjoyed that interview with him, man. Just a solid brother. I understand that he's going home. And, you know, obviously it's going to be emotional. I mean, he spent his whole damn career there. And so, yeah, he's going to have emotions. But he's a pro's pro, and it's not going to be something that's going to be overwhelming or something like that. But, I mean, just how he talks about the community and, you know, what that organization means to him. And, you know, it's always different when you get an opportunity to go against your old club, especially this early. You know, they get an opportunity. It's going to be like that when they go to Minnesota and Kirk gets to go up against those guys. It's just something about when you play your former team that early, because a lot of times when you're two or three years past leaving, it's like, all right, I used to play for them.
But right.
You just left there.
Yeah.
You were the captain of this team.
And was very good
it
for
was
a
very,
very long
good.
Time.
Yeah.
Led the NFL in interceptions since he came into the league for them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, did a lot of good football playing over there. So hopefully he plays good against him on Sunday. Go a long way into winning this one for the Falcons. Week 11 starts tonight.
Woo, boy.
Right here on the radio station. Commanders and Eagles.
I like it.
That's a fun one.
I like it.
This is the best Thursday night game we've gotten all year, I think.
As far as matchups. Yeah, the game.
We'll see.
Yeah, the game last week was the best one.
And the Falcons-Bucks was incredible.
Yeah, that
the one they
and
won
then,
in overtime.
And then last week with the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome.
Okay, that's a great matchup.
Yeah.
They've had some pretty good Thursday
night games. They've
had
pretty good ones,
man. But these, 7-3 and 7-2?
Yeah, this is first place in the NFC East. And we know they traded Marshawn. You just saw that he's not going to play this game. And it seems like the Eagles guys who were iffy are all going to play, like A.J. Brown and all them. And, I mean, you go back to their bye week, Jalen has been playing well. 14 touchdowns, only two turnovers. You know, Saquon's still running the way he's running and things like that. They're getting the left tackle back this week. So they're fully loaded. But the defense over there and Jalen Carter and those boys and Nolan and N'Kobe and those two rookie corners, I mean, they're all playing well now. They're all playing well.
And speaking of teams that maybe, like we were saying about the Broncos, winning while building, nobody saw the Commanders at 7-3.
No.
10 games into the season.
They are all – I mean, they got some good players. Sure. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it's about him.
Yes.
They're not very good.
They're not.
They're not very, they're very not. Good all-around football
And
team.
Pittsburgh did a pretty good job of exposing yes. some of the rookie limitations yes. that Jaden Daniels has last week as well, making him uncomfortable.
Yes.
I think Philly can do that also.
Yeah.
I kind of – I don't know. I hope it's a good game. It's a great matchup. This one feels like maybe the Eagles kind of show who the dominant team is.
It also goes back to what the hell is Nick Sirianni going to do?
That's a great point.
Are we going to come in here tomorrow and be like, what the hell was he doing? Because he has it. And every time stuff is going good, ever since that bye week, they've been playing well. And it was playing well. You didn't hear nothing from him until the damn Jacksonville game. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, here he goes. He can't help himself.
Mark Schlereth said on our show a couple of weeks ago, and he said it like early in an answer. There was so much talking afterwards that I couldn't really reference it again.
Uh-huh.
But we looked at each other when he said it, and I know a lot of Falcons fans heard it. He was like, if that division comes down to me trusting Nick Sirianni or Dan Quinn's late game decision making, yes. he was like, I'll go with Dan Quinn 10 times out of 10. And I was like, wow.
What did
really,
Dan do? What did,
you really don't
Dan
trust.
Had some mishaps.
No, I don't remember any.
I'm trying to think.
There was no late game execution issues.
But the thing about it was about Nick, it ain't just late game.
Yeah, no, it's all
it's
game.
It's all game.
No, and I don't disagree with Schlereth, but I was just like, that's a.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he realized.
That's a prisoner of the moment thing.
No. He didn't realize the.
Yes.
Would it preach into the choir? He didn't realize the choir he was preaching
yeah.
to at that point
yeah.
because a lot of people heard that. They're like, dang, Nick Sirianni must really make bad decisions.
Do y'all
if that's watch, what he's saying.
Watch an Eagles game, yeah. man. And it's just like. Really?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. And it's like we were saying, we talk about with Carson Beck a couple weeks ago. Like, these aren't like your panic, like shot clock running down, fourth quarter, whatever.
Right.
Nick Sirianni makes bad decisions in like low pressure situations
yes.
in the first quarter.
Yes. Like, in the first yeah, quarter.
Just intentionally, I mean, he doesn't think they're bad decisions, but it's like, you don't have to do that. Why'd you do that?
But that's the thing. What I'm saying, like, he can't help himself.
And that's the great thing about it.
And it's always that cliche, well, I trust the players. And as a player, you always like, fine, let's do it. But sometimes you're sitting there like,
yeah.
Oh, just take the point.
Right. But if you run, you know, you can always say that, and it's true, and you're right, and professional as a player to say, well, it is on us to execute it.
Right.
But some stuff is just dumb.
Yeah.
Like
it really is.
If you call a fake punt on 1st and 10 on first down in the first quarter, yeah, the player should execute the call. But it's a bad call.
Dante Fowler has eight and a half sacks.
Yeah, Dante. Yeah.
Maybe it's the turf here.
No,
maybe,
I don't know what it
maybe
is.
Maybe ain't no. Maybe the turf is horrible for get off.
Like
do the Falcons like defensive players have heavier pads?
But it's not just the turf here. Like it's pre Mercedes Benz. This is a 25-year issue.
Are their defensive players' pads like heavier?
Is there something in the uniforms?
This is what I'm saying.
Like. Why, when you put an Atlanta Falcons jersey on, can you not sack the quarterback?
Unbelievable.
Matthew Judon had 32 sacks in the 36 games he played prior to coming here.
Yes.
He has 1.5 sacks
in
10 games.
And that was in week one.
Yeah. He's 1.5 sacks in 10 games. They pulled him off the field last week because he couldn't get to the quarterback, and they put in Arnold Ebikidi. Like, what's going on?
Man.
It's a curse. It's a sack curse.
Sack curse.
The worst kind of curse to get.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's go to break.
We'll come back. A couple thoughts on that. That's a great lead into a Blue Chew read, by the way. Am I doing Blue Chew? Oh, it's next. Uncurse your sack. BlueChew.com. Promo code Andy. We'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Important, important question
yeah.
being asked during the break. Midday show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Because Abe was telling us there's a kid from Pace Academy
mm-hmm.
who just signed a college deal to go play, I think, somewhere in Texas, and his name's Chandler Bing, which is one of the characters from Friends. And it's like 18 years, right?
Right.
So maybe he's named after the character, maybe not.
I hope not.
But probably maybe. It's hard to. It's like a pretty popular character in pop culture, so probably. But, like, I was asking, like, what's the next wave of popular? Because it was, like, 10 years ago,
yes.
every team, not every team, but a lot of teams in college football and basketball had a Shaquille
yes.
on their team.
Yes,
there was a lot of Shaqs. And there's still a lot of guys play professionally now, too.
Like, and all their nickname is Shaq.
Shaq, they're all Shaq.
Yeah, they're all Shaq.
Shaq Thompson, Shaq Griffin, like, there's a lot of Shaqs.
Yes.
Maybe they were going to be Shaq anyway. But I have to feel like Shaquille O'Neal inspired that.
Because when I heard Shaquille O'Neal, never, ever heard of anybody being named Shaquille.
Neither had I.
Yes.
And it's an awesome name. And it's also very cool that it rhymes with O'Neal. Like, yes. Shaquille O'Neal rhyming is great.
Yes.
And then there's like, Kobe's. There's quite a few Kobe's that have maybe been more popular names since Kobe. I'm wondering where the LeBrons are.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's about 21 years in.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not coming. Maybe it is. Look, there's a Kanye. In my daughter's class, mm-hmm. as well as a Kanye that plays for App State mm-hmm. football. There's Kanyes out there.
How many Kanyes were there before Kanyes? I always think about
it. I never heard of it.
I don't know. Like, I knew, I said this, I went to, we came in together in Georgia, LeBron Mitchell from Marietta High.
He's the original LeBron.
He's the only LeBron I ever knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's built the same and everything. He's the only one I ever knew. But, yeah, you know, just some, and I hate talking about it.
Go on.
You name your child whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want to.
But all the damn dashes in.
It's a lot of apostrophes.
Yeah, and the afterwards, the putting Tarius on the end of things.
Octavius.
Yeah, or Tavius. Yeah. That's show, baby. Yeah. Do what you do.
I love it.
Do what you do.
I guess I can't say I'm all for it because.
Do what you do.
I've got two kids that don't have that, but they could.
I mean, you could. Jack Tarius.
Could just hit it with an apostrophe.
Yeah,
because you know when you get a
apostrophe semicolon.
When you have a baby, you know people get you stuff with his name on it all the time. Like he's got that little squishy chair in their playroom that says Jack on it.
Yeah,
just hit it with an apostrophe.
Hey, Tavius.
Put the Tavius on there.
Yeah,
the end
man. Teach his own.
There's just points for creativity. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you
we've been rolling out the same old names forever.
Yeah, you want some originality.
Yeah, a lot of originality points for sure. I played on a baseball team when I was 10 years old with four different Andys.
Really?
Four
you didn't tell me that.
Four Andys. Andy Bunker, Andy me, right?
Yeah.
Andy Sambalay, Andy Sechrist, and Andy, what's that last Andy's name? Dang it.
And how did they define you?
I was Bunk.
Okay.
Andy Sambalay was the best player, so he got to be Andy. Sechrist was the coach's kid, so he was Sechrist. And then Andy, I can't remember the other guy's name, Randy. It's driving me crazy.
I know, and it's going to drive you crazy,
35
too.
Years ago, but anyway. All right,
it's going to drive you crazy.
We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour in about 15 minutes from right now. College Football Corner at 12:20. Falcons quarterbacks coach T.J. Yates is going to join us at 12:40. So we'll talk some offense, talk some Kirk Cousins, talk some Falcons with T.J. Yates about an hour from right now. But before we do any of that, let's get to the back page with Bo. Most days at 12:40, but sometimes when T.J. Yates needs to come on at 11:40. Hello, Bo.
So I am playing this movie theme music for a very specific reason. I've been sitting on this story for a couple of days, and I'm glad that I just got to it.
Do you recognize this?
Not one bit.
Okay, I don't either.
It's not something you would probably recognize unless you've seen the movie several times.
Okay.
But this is one of the movies that when it comes on, I stop on it. This is The Dark Knight.
Okay.
All right. So Warner Brothers announces earlier in the week that they're going to sell 10 Batmobiles. All right. These are the replica. These are the Batmobiles they use in the movie.
Sure.
You know, they're not street legal. They're going to sell them for $3 million a piece.
Okay.
All right. So that's a thing. So some rich person's going to go buy a Batmobile for $3 million.
Nice.
Yeah, sure. I would love to have one if I could afford one.
But they're not street legal.
They're not, but you could probably make it street legal, maybe. I don't know. But I'd still like to have one that I just roll around the neighborhood.
If you had $3 million for a Batmobile, you probably got, like, property to drive it on.
Yeah.
Or a
All
track.
Right. Flash forward to the night show last night with Abe Gordon.
Okay.
And Orrin Romain asks Abe about this. Now, Abe says that if you have enough money for one Batmobile, you probably have enough disposable income for all of them. So you got $30 million laying around if you have $3 million. Abe, if he had this money, wants to own all 10 Batmobiles so that nobody else can get a Batmobile.
Makes sense.
I find this very selfish.
Does it?
No,
does it not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let somebody else have a Batmobile.
If you don't want somebody to have something and you have the money to do it, why not?
But why would you not want anyone to have it?
Exactly.
Because I want them all.
Why?
If I can afford all 10 of them, I would buy them all. Because I don't want nobody to have them.
Why would you not want anybody to have them?
Because I
want to
be the only one.
Oh, so it, like, increases the exclusivity of it?
Pretty much.
Okay, got it. I didn't, from first blush, because my mind didn't go there.
Do you know how big a flex it is to have all the Batmobiles?
No, you make a strong point.
I don't think it'd be
point.
As big of a flex if you just had a Batmobile. I don't think it's that much bigger a flex.
You're right, but crazy. Then if nobody else has one.
I have all of them. You can have none. That's the biggest flex ever.
Only 10 of them anyway.
Exactly. It's rare. And then I would probably, you want one? I paid three. I give it to you for 7.
Right.
I give
it to you
for 7.
You can sell it off for
I give it to you for 7.
Or if you have like 9 really good friends, you guys can all go out and have Batmobile races, potentially, if you're real comfortable with the insurance policy on it or something like that. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that.
I can't believe Abe and Randy are.
Well, my brain just doesn't work like that.
I say let everybody.
Abe and Randy's brains do.
Oh, yeah. No, don't ever say that again. Don't ever say that again.
Now, I would maybe want to have 2.
Sneak that one in there.
Yeah. Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say that again.
I would like maybe a tan one and a black one. I don't have to have all 8 of them, though.
Was that the same thought process, though? You were like, yeah, then I.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was over here clapping the whole time he was going through it. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Well, you guys are selfish.
Why y'all got to be selfish with the Batmobile?
That's why.
Share them with everybody, man.
So speaking of Batmobiles, Drake London went on the St. Brown's podcast yesterday. So they asked Drake what his most memorable game was thus far in his young career, and Drake brought up a game from earlier this season.
I already celebrated. Like, I'm already good. I'm damn near half to the sideline, and the only reason I broke through the flag is because he heard me go. Like, he heard me do that.
Yeah.
So that's like he turned around and looked and just threw the joint.
Bro, I feel like you put the whole gun thing on the map. Like, before that, it wasn't really like an issue. Then once Drake did that Monday night, we got the Lions in the meeting room. Like, hey, make sure no guns signal. It's going to get flagged. Like, you saw what happened on Monday night. I said, yeah, my Drake turned up. Like, what you mean? Like,
yeah. It's dumb, though. It's like.
So apparently you could have gotten away with the machine gun celebration had you not done the brrr.
It's dumb as hell. Period. It's dumb as hell. It is. The empty end of the clip and all the other crap is dumb. All right, so whatever. But I understand. How y'all got time to do all these podcasts during the season?
Yeah, I guess between meetings? I don't know.
Well, they do them all on Zoom.
It's all digital, obviously.
Like, how y'all got time for that?
Yeah. I do also think, just one more point of contention on their conversation, I feel like gun celebrations have been an issue before that.
Yes.
Like, leagues don't really want people doing that.
Right.
They've made that.
Because if you put it on the map.
That's also not something you want. Do you want to be famous for that?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Well, so last season they were doing the whole and you can't see me, but it's like I think it has some roots in Baton Rouge, but they were doing the whole two-pistol celebration. Nobody got penalized for it.
Well, I think that's why some of these guys started doing the arrow.
And then they said you can't shoot a bow and arrow
anymore. Because they wanted to do a gun celebration and they weren't allowed to. But you can go old school.
I think they get flagged for that one.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks got flagged for doing the bow and arrow.
That was his thing.
I guess he was pointing at somebody.
Yeah, that was it. That was B. Cook's thing.
It's kind of soft where we're headed with all this.
Yeah.
Like, next thing you know, you're not going to be able to pull out a sword and swashbuckle somebody.
No, what's
OBJ
the...
OBJ and Tyreek Hill are going to get fined for doing a wrestling
celebration. What's the weapon you're allowed to use?
Just spike the
pocket knife.
Ball and go about your
business. You can do the bow and arrow, right?
No, we're just saying you can't.
I'm pretty sure they are finding people for flagging people for doing the bow and arrow.
What if you just shoot it into the sky?
I don't know. It comes down. You don't know who's going to hit.
It does come down. You never know who. Yeah.
Gravity, you know what I mean?
Shot put a football.
I do think that they're fighting the battle the wrong way.
Yes.
Right?
Like, agreed.
I don't think making these guys not celebrate touchdowns that way is going to deal
not going to have anything to do with violence.
Gun violence. Yeah. I don't think so.
So Patrick Mahomes, TMZ caught up with Patrick Mahomes after the story about both he and Kelsey's homes being burglarized and asked him about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's frustrating. It's disappointing. But I mean, I can't get into too many of the details because the investigation is still ongoing. But obviously something that you don't want to happen to really anybody, but obviously yourself. Yeah, I can't speak too much about the details of everything just with the investigation going on. But I'm sure at some point that will be talked about.
So he was asked right there in the middle. I just took the other question out if they had any leads on it. And he's just being super, super buttoned up to where he almost seems like he knows it was an inside job. And I guess it kind of had to have been, right?
It seems like it is. And a lot of times... a lot of these situations are that, you know, they, you know, and that goes back to not letting everybody in your house. And it could have been anything. It could have been somebody did some work on your house. Yeah. That is, you know what I mean? Everything, you know, you always got to bet and be cautious. And it sucks to have to be that way. But you got to, especially, you know, that's when your family laid ahead and babies and your wife be there. And you know, and the crazy thing about him is that everybody, especially Pat, everybody knows that his wife goes to all the games.
Right.
And so they know she's not going to be home. And I mean, it's a scary situation.
When your schedule is public.
Yes, it's very scary.
And you make the money they make. It's tough.
Yeah, and you're telling me about security and gated communities and all that other crap.
Yeah, but sometimes the people that install the security might be the ones that
Say, maybe the guy that came to hang your TV in your new man cave was not a criminal until he walked into your house and saw all your stuff just out there laying around. I mean,
that's true.
I guess maybe something like that can
maybe happen. He was convinced the life of crime was the right path. Hanging TVs is worth this amount. I break back in during Monday Night Football, I get $20,000 in cash.
Or maybe he overheard the Kelsey's talking about.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, with my $20,000. Why would you be talking about that? But you never know.
You never know, man.
You never know. You never know.
So, speaking of $20,000, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, the official last weigh-in happened yesterday. We got Mike in the state or inside the ring talking about his family being there. Because when Mike was a badass in boxing, he didn't have kids. So here's Mike being asked about how special it is to have his family there at the fight.
Well, it's the family's everything. But my kids, to my children, I'm nobody. And then, but that night, they're going to find out their father's very special.
Very special.
Where's this fight at?
That's a good question.
I think it's AT&T Stadium. I could be wrong. I think it's in Dallas.
They're fighting in Dallas? So. Really?
Huh. I think so.
Like, okay.
Is Mike a grandfather or just a father?
I'm pretty sure he's a granddad.
I think he might be, yeah.
Yeah, just don't get hurt, Mike. Like Mike still has that, and he's still, and you watch the video, he's still doing the old Mike, how cuts tomorrow with the hands up, bobbing and weaving and going forward and everything. It's just, you know, I saw Mike had a damn knee sleeve on yesterday, Andy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I think Mike's going to get his opportunity right when the fight starts. Do y'all think Jake Paul's going to come out and try to throw a haymaker on Mike and knock him out in one point?
Probably.
Like he did there. Have you seen the video of the other? He started one fight with some schlub and just came in and just freaking
threw a haymaker. But yeah, no, Mike's got to start fast. Mike's got to come out there
but
like.
Be ready for that punch, and if you can duck or move out of the
but
way.
Like Mike, because Mike's going to have both hands up guard, and like, you know, in that posture that he does. He's going to start just like that. And then if he gets that damn left hook off to the body or to the face, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
The body on each guy is the punch that scares me.
It's going to hurt.
I don't know if Mike can handle a body shot even if his chin is still there.
Too far.
All right.
Too far. We went too far. It's at AT&T Stadium. That's where it is. God, I hope he just wins and then that's it. You know? All right.
Don't get hurt, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll be back. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.